Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we've got a special guest for you. We're joined by actress Christiane Seidel. Christiane, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you. How are you?
Hey, doing well. Thank you so much for joining us on today's show.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So, Christiane, for our listening audience, I wanted to ask you, when did you first become involved with the world of acting, and when did you know that acting was something that you just had a knack for?
Oh, I love that question. I was actually into acting from a very, very young age, and I was one of those people who would perform for my parents' friends in the living room and when I was very little, and then I was always involved in school plays and acting groups. And then I decided to, because I lived in Germany at that time, and I decided to go to New York to study acting because I felt like this is where the best acting schools and teachers would be. And I didn't know I was going to stay, but I ended up, 2 years later, here I am. I'm still here.
Absolutely.
So that was my little journey.
Very nice. And who are some, actors or actresses that you look up to and that have kind of helped to shape your craft?
Oh, there's so many. I mean, it's like everybody says this, but Meryl Streep, of course, she's one of my idols and all-time favorite actresses. She's a genius. I have a lot of actresses that I admire, like Kate Blanchett, Amy Adams, Tilda Swinton. There's so many, and it's never really changed. I mean, I've looked up at, for example, Meryl Streep for so many years, and she never ceases to amaze me. And she's an acting class to watch, basically.
Absolutely. You named so many good ones, so many legends. You know, it's refreshing to hear, other actresses and actors, you know, speak about, you know, their influences, people that have kind of helped to shape them. Because you kind of get an idea, like when I watch your craft, I can kind of see all of those influencers like in your work. And so that's awesome.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, it was nice. Thank you so much. The great thing about some of these actors is that they have such longevity and, they've been around for so long, and, which is obviously a goal for every actor to have that longevity and age with the craft and just become better and have more juicier roles, and that you don't stop ever to develop, basically. And that's what all these people do that I look up to.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's so true. I mean, I guess a lot of people don't really think about that, but I mean, you're constantly honing your craft. I mean, you're going to speech classes, you're going to acting classes. I mean, just because you become, you know, a well-known actor or actress doesn't mean that, you know, you ever stop learning.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's kind of a trap to fall into, I think, once you're at a certain point, that you're working all the time, you then, you know, might think you could stop learning because you know what you're doing, and you become more comfortable. But the development of your own instrument will never stop, or it would be fatal if it would stop, I think, personally. But that's very personal, I guess. Different for everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you kind of hit it, you know, on the nail, and that really leads into my next question. But I guess what would you say is like the biggest misconception that, you know, people that, you know, non-entertainment, you know, professionals, what would you say is the biggest misconception about, you know, the world of acting that people have?
I would say sometimes it might be underestimating what goes into looking very, you know, easy on camera or comfortable. If you see a performance that's very, it seems so natural and so real. And a lot of times, most of the times, a lot of work has gone into that. A lot of homework or a lot of development. And that might seem, because it looks so real and so natural, it might seem like, oh, they just showed up on set and they said their line. Which I think happens a lot, but this is also, on the other hand, it's almost a compliment to those actors who are able to accomplish that, because they are seemingly so real, and you can't imagine that that's not them just being. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yeah, it makes complete sense, you know, and it's so crazy, because I've actually, you know, I've actually heard people say that before. They're like, well, you know, how hard can it be? You know, you just have to pretend.
Right.
And I'm like, well, it's actually really hard. I mean, it's complicated, because you've got to essentially immerse yourself in this role. You've got to memorize lines. And then, I mean,
yeah, you have to do it over and over again, because you're doing so many takes a lot of times. And
exactly.
You have to find the essence in it, and every time, and not just replicate the same thing you did. You want to give the director different things in the editing room. And yeah, also the thing that you brought up, the lines. That's actually really, you know, it's a funny thing that people usually say, that would be the hardest thing for me, to just learn the lines. And that's actually sort of like a side product of your, you know, homework or your preparation. The lines is they come with getting into it. But that's another, I guess, misconception. And I don't blame, I mean, I totally understand. It makes total sense. You think, oh, you have to learn on these lines and say them. And that would be the hardest thing. It's usually the easiest thing, the lines.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, because I guess, yeah, you know, once you learn them, because, you know, each actor and actress has, like, you know, their own way of how they learn, you know, learn a line.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess once you, you know, once you learn it, you know, everything else is, I mean, not easier to say, but.
Right. I mean, you want to be really comfortable with them so you can just play and be there with the other actor.
Right.
But it does kind of come with it when you go through the script and you do your script analysis and whatever each actor does to prepare. You go over it so many times usually, and then it makes sense, like, why the character say this line in this moment. And then, yeah, sometimes it's written in a weird way or in a way you wouldn't express yourself, and then can sometimes get tricky, but that's an easy problem to solve, actually.
I bet. Yes, absolutely. What would you say, I guess, what would you say is, like, the biggest thing that you want people to take away from your work? I mean, you've got such a large body of work, and, you know, you're constantly working on new things, some things we're going to touch on here. But what do you want people, when they see your films, the films that you're in, what's the biggest takeaway that you want people to get from your body of work?
That's a really good question. I would like people just, I think if people watch, if it's a film or a TV show, or if it's on stage, if they watch a play, I wish they will just immerse themselves in the story and forget maybe that they see a performance, and that the essence of the story comes across, and they don't get distracted by an actor trying to act. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's really my goal, to just serve the story that is being told.
Absolutely. That's good. That's good. And that actually leads into my next question. But so you were on Boardwalk Empire for a few seasons, and I love that show. It was amazing.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Yes. It was amazing. That was when I first became acquainted with your work and who you were. And And then, you know, I started to see like your other films and things. But what was it like for you? That was a period piece and it was set like in the '20s. Like, did you like it? 'Cause I know like, I mean, sometimes like actors and actresses, they don't like period pieces. What was it like for you working on Boardwalk Empire?
Oh my God. I love doing period. I just think that's the most fun to do, because you get to wear costumes from a different era, and the hair and the makeup and everything, the props and the way you speak, and everything is a little bit different, and it's so much more fun because you get so much more to do in a way, and you kind of immerse yourself in a different time. And then on Boardwalk, it was just a fantastic crew and artists that were behind all that, and building the sets and the props and the costumes and the hair and makeup and all that together. Just sometimes when you're stepping, when I stepped on set, it was just unbelievable. I felt like I was actually in that time zone, because everybody around you, except for maybe the crew, right?
Yes.
are wearing their costumes and the themes are, you know, in that show were 20s themes, and the gangsters and the prohibition, and you learn so much about a different time, and you I always find it fascinating, also from a women's perspective, to see where were women at that time and how would they dress, how were they in society, and women's rights and so forth. And there was so much happening in that time as well. So I just loved it. I could always do period if I could. I would always do that.
Very nice. Do you remember when they said that, you know, season 5 would be the last season? How did you feel about that? Because I know as a fan, I was devastated. I felt like even though Nucky's storyline was coming to an end, I felt like there were so many other, you know, you had Luciano and Lansky that, you know, went on to live well into the 60s. And so I thought, you know, ideally they could have kept the show going, but you know, the producers, you know, how did you feel as an actress being, you know, attached to it?
I wanted it to keep going, because it was also my first really big job. And, it was just such an amazing experience, but I do also respect that decision to end when it's going well. Because we've all seen too many shows that just had, because they had so many fans and they were going so well for a long time, they just keep going and then there's nothing more to say and nothing more to tell. And then it just becomes maybe ridiculous in terms of storylines, and then people start getting almost, you know, they get disappointed and they leave, you know, they don't want to watch the show. And so I always think it's a really good and brave decision to say we ended on a high note, and we ended when people still want more, because then I guess the show that way will also have more longevity and people will watch it. Just like people are still watching Sopranos, right? And
yes,
those are shows that people just love watching because they went out with a bang, I guess. And so I think from that perspective, I think it was wise. Of course, I wanted to keep going, but that's, you know, the selfish actor who wants to just work, obviously.
I understand completely. I understand. Yeah. I want to take a quick detour for the sake of time. But I wanted to speak with you a little bit about your newest film, The Hollow, that you're doing with actor and director Miles Dolick. This film is amazing. It's such a good film. I've seen the screener for it, and it's so amazing. And I wanted to ask you, you know, how did you become involved with the project, and what did you like best about this project?
I'm glad you liked the film. I think it's a really great film and script and story. And I got involved through my agent, actually, because they pitched me to Miles. They knew about Miles. They had other clients who had worked with have on The Historian, for film, feature film. And Miles was open to the idea, so then I sent him a tape and an audition tape, and then he actually had me tape it one more time. He had a couple of notes, which I think is amazing. Like, most of the times you don't get that opportunity. You send in the tape, and then it's yes or no. But he was obviously open to seeing more and gave me some notes, and then we taped it again, and then it was pretty fast. After that, I was offered the role, and I think that was just very shortly before we actually started shooting, and that was really exciting. And then I was in Mississippi for 6 weeks.
Yes. my neck of the woods here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes, well, yeah. We're based here in Memphis. Our studio is here in Memphis, and so we're pretty close to Jackson, Mississippi. It's like 2 hours away, and so
we're
here in the Mid-South. But yeah, that's awesome. That must have been quite the culture shock for you coming from New York.
It was, it's actually born in Texas, which is still, you know, ways away, but it was kind of lovely to go to the, you know, to that part of the country, because I've never been to Mississippi before, and I had the opportunity to take a trip to New Orleans with James Callis, the lead actors, and it was great to get to know that part of the country. It was really fascinating. And the people are just so lovely and warm and welcoming. And there is really this thing about Southern hospitality that is true.
I will say that.
Yeah. So that was a really cool experience. And also because Miles from there and of course, you know, his family is there and we get to meet them. And it was just such a really great way of working, because you're not home, you're away from home, and you try to make it as comfortable as possible for that time you're there, and it was great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How did you, and this is probably a really weird and random question, but you are beautiful, and I mean, how did you keep your figure? Because I know here down south, like I'm not originally from Memphis, but you know, I work here now. The studio's here. I've gained some weight since I've been here, just due to the southern dishes and delicacies. How did you keep your figure? You know, when you were working down here, because I know there's just food everywhere. The portions are huge.
Yeah. And the food is really good. It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, I went, you know, we all went to the gym.
Oh, nice.
that's something I do in my regular life, and I keep doing that when I work. And then, you know, you always have choices, you know, and you indulge, and then which I actually really enjoyed doing, because the food was very good. And there was some great restaurants in Hattiesburg where we were. And then you just make some choices sometimes, you know. You don't always have to get the mac and cheese, maybe. you just try to be balanced. And I'm lucky a little bit. It sounds so stupid, you know, so many actors or actually to say that, but, you know, my mom has always been very skinny and had a great metabolism, so I got some genes from her, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, yeah.
That's good. I want to, my last question is, I wanted to ask you, you're also attached to an upcoming series here on Netflix, and I believe it's called Godless. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about it. I'm really excited to learn more about it. Could you share a little bit?
Yes, of course I'm not allowed to say a lot, but there has been some, you know, official press stuff out, and what I can say is a Western, a very, an amazing script by Scott Frank. It was originally a feature film, and that has now been made into a 6-episode limited series. So it's like three feature films, basically, you know, 6 hours approximately, maybe. I don't, maybe not, maybe they're longer. I'm not sure what's going to happen, but basically six episodes, and Steven Soderbergh is executive producing with Casey Silver, and it's Jeff Daniels plays one of the leads, and Michelle Dockery and Jack O'Connell, Merritt Weaver, fantastic actors. What I will say is that there's a lot of female actors in this, which is brilliant and awesome because you don't come across a script like this very often. So, and I'm actually in Santa Fe right now shooting it.
Very nice.
And I'm sitting in my hotel room right now.
Okay.
And we're going out, we're shooting here in Santa Fe and in the round Santa Fe, which is amazing. Gorgeous. And yeah, I have to say it's a really exciting script, and the cast and crew is exceptional. So I'm very, very excited to be a part of this and very grateful to be a part of this. And it's coming out next year, but I don't know when yet.
Okay.
I don't know when it's coming out, but definitely 2017.
We'll have to keep our eyes peeled. I mean, man. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm excited for it. Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
It should be a good one.
Yes. I think so. I think so. I think it will be.
Absolutely. Well, Christiane, I just want to thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to do this interview with me. I know, you know, your filming schedule has been really tight, and it's just thank you for taking the time. And
no, thank you. This is great. I love it. You know, this is great to recap The Hollow and to, you know, talk about this project. It was such a passion project, and I want it to do well, of course. So it's great.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to open the floor to you if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
Oh, well, thanks for listening, first of all. And I would love for you to check out The Hollow. It's out on Video On Demand and iTunes and in select theaters nationwide. So there's a Facebook page, The Hollow, where all the movie theaters are listed. And if you're not close to a theater, check it out on demand. It's really a really wonderful film.
I agree.
So thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you so
great.
Much.
Well, thank you, Walter.
You're welcome.
It's great talking to you.
Likewise.
All right.
Guys, that was actress Christiane Seidel. If you're listening to this on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also on your mobile phone or your mobile device. Download the Stitcher Smart Radio app. It's available for free in the Google Play as well as the iTunes Store. Download the app, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You'll hear this interview. If you're an Android user, have no fear. We're also in the Google Play Store. You can just go to Google Play Music, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You'll hear this interview. You can stream it live. You can download it, share it with your friends, leave a comment, or subscribe, all free of charge.